You are listening to a broadcast from Proclamation Church. I'm Pastor Jimmy, and I want to thank you for tuning in to this week's sermon lesson. We are located in Orlando, Florida, and we're so glad that you are listening in on us and hope and pray that these next few minutes will be intellectually informative, spiritually enlightening, and altogether life-changing. Thank you again for listening in. It's preaching time. It's preaching time. It's time for us to hear a word from the Lord. And we have one for you today. It is coming from Mark 16, 12 through 16. Mark 16, 12 through 16. If you would turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark. And we're going to be looking at chapter 16, verses 12 through 16. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. 12 through 16. And it reads this way. It says this: after this, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were on their way to the country. They went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Then he appeared to the 11 themselves while they were eating. And he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him resurrected. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned. Go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned." I want to speak to you from the subject, preaching the gospel, a compliment, which is what we're going to drive home today, is an obligation of the believer. The preaching the gospel is an obligation of the believers. Preaching the gospel is an obligation of the believers. All right? That's what we're going to talk about today. I got 3 points for you. I'm not going to hold you long today. I want you to hear this, though. I want you to know that I'm going to hold you long enough so that we can get these 3 points across so we can be effective for the Lord. First point is this: no faith. No faith. Verses 12 and 13, no faith. After this, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were on their way to the country. They went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Now, when we read this verse, the first question that comes to mind is, in what form did Jesus appear? Now, even though this is a normal and good question to ask, it is irrelevant to the context of what Mark is conveying to his audience, and ultimately conveying to us. But to give us some attention, to give this some attention, we can say that it is in line with the other passages about Jesus's appearance. How so? Well, every appearance of Jesus after his resurrection, the individuals who saw him did not recognize him. Luke said that when Jesus stood among them, they were startled and thought they had seen a ghost. John has two accounts, one to Mary and one to his disciples. John said that after Mary spoke to the two angels about Jesus, then she turned and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And John also said that very early one morning, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not recognize him. Many justify that the reason for the individuals not recognizing him is because of their minds, because in their minds, they could not fathom dead coming alive, right? The reason for the individuals not recognizing him is because in the minds of those individuals, they could not fathom a dead individual coming alive, and therefore they dismiss who he was and replace him with someone he was not. Y'all with me? And so in those cases, he was who he was, but they did not recognize him because of their unbelief in the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Now, this is not the case with Mark's account. Mark says that Jesus appears, I'm sorry, Mark says that Jesus's appearance was different. Now, this word is heteros morphe, and the raw Greek meaning is different form. Now, this definition does not mean that he did not look like himself, but his form was different. And this is true because Jesus was no longer a mortal human being, but instead now he is an immortal human being. And I am concluding that the difference between the mortal and the immortal human being is substantial enough that their appearance is also somewhat different. All right. So enough of that. All right. Enough of that. The passage is focusing our attention on the fact that Jesus resurrected from the grave and appeared to two of the disciples who, after seeing him, went and told the others, but they did not believe them. Now, there are two questions that come to mind. First, how did the two disciples feel when the other disciples just flat out disbelieved their exciting report about Jesus being alive? And second, why didn't the other disciples believe their own brothers? Why didn't they believe them? Now, the first question of how they felt after being rejected by their own brothers is akin to what we go through when we continue to teach and preach and encourage and appeal and motivate believers to go and proclaim the gospel to the world and get no response. The frustration that this brings about has to have been what they experienced as well. Now, here is what it must have been like. Here's what it must have been like. The dramatic record of what happened, right? The two disciples, hey, we saw Jesus. The other disciples, no, you didn't. The two disciples, really, we did. He spoke with us. He ate with us. The other disciples, you're lying. Jesus is dead. And that was then, and this is right now. This is a dramatic presentation right now. The preacher, Jesus commands us to go and make disciples. The Christian audience, no, he didn't. He just wants us to feed the starving people in the world, to clothe the naked and house the homeless. The preacher, no, he really wants us to proclaim the gospel and to know that those who believe and are baptized will be saved. The Christian audience, that's not for me. That's not my thing. I believe somebody else would do that. Different accounts, same frustration. Our text says they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Now, the second question is, why didn't they believe their own Christian brothers? It is because, listen to me, they did not believe in the word of God. Jesus, the Word of God incarnate, had been telling them for near about 3 years that in 3 days he would rise from the dead. They heard it, but they never placed any faith in it. So when it happened, they did not believe it. You with me? They heard it, but they did not place any faith in it. So when it happened, they didn't believe it. This is what is happening to the Christian believers who hear the Great Commission telling them to go and make disciples, but they refuse to do it. They have no faith in the power of the gospel and the commands of God. So they don't go and proclaim the gospel, and they don't believe that it has the power to save. Question is this: do you see yourself in this picture? Are you the one who has no faith in the power of the gospel to save those who are lost? Or are you the one who is excited about the risen Savior and the power of the gospel to save? Which one are you? Point two, stern rebuke. Stern rebuke. Then he appeared to the 11 themselves while they were eating, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him resurrected. All right? Let's talk about that. Stern rebuke. Mark says, then Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples while they were eating, and he rebuked them. At this point, I can imagine that Jesus is fed up with what is happening and has to make a personal appearance. He had to dispel the disciples' blatant refusal to believe what they had heard from him when he was with them and what they're hearing from those who had seen him resurrected. Mark says that Jesus rebuked them for not believing and trusting in the truth about his resurrection. Now, the raw Greek translation for rebuke is revile, meaning to reprimand and scold, followed by a lecture. In other words, Jesus reprimanded and scolded the disciples and lectured them about their belief and lack of faith. Now, this Greek word is apistia. This comes from the Greek noun pistis with a negative prefix, which is a. So instead of belief, this word is the opposite. The Greek authors call it untrust, meaning both no faith and no trust. This is a total lack. Listen to me. This is a total lack of confidence in the truth of God, his word, his son, and his power. And this is from believers and followers of Jesus Christ. That's why there's a rebuke, because this is not coming from the normal unsaved individual in the world, those who are under the power of the ruler of the air, those who are energized by Satan. This is coming from believers who are followers of Jesus Christ. Therefore, this is the reason for the stern rebuke. It was not merely because the disciples' unbelief and lack of faith and trust, but most importantly, because of their hardness of their hearts. Hardness of heart points to one who is stubborn, cold, and obstinate. This one is fixed and persistent. He or she will not bow to the truth of God's word and refuses to be led by his authority and commands. And the question is this: does this reflect you and your behavior towards God, Jesus, and the gospel? Are you the one receiving the rebuke from Jesus because you lack the confidence in God and his word, Jesus, and the gospel? Are you the stubborn one who's cold and obstinate to God and his plan for the Christian believer to go and proclaim the gospel to the entire world? Is it you? Mark said, and Jesus rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him resurrected. Is Jesus rebuking you and me? Is he rebuking us today? Are we receiving a stern rebuke because our inability to activate faith in what the word says has caused us to rebel against his commands? It's not that you're not saved. It's not saying that. It's not that you're not saved. You're just disobedient. Therefore, the rebuke. Is he rebuking us? Is he rebuking you? Last point, and I'll let you go. Last point is life-saving command. Life-saving command. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned." Let me close with these last two verses. Let me close with this. The thing that we should observe from these last two verses is that even though they may have lost confidence, the disciples may have lost confidence in God, his word, Jesus, the gospel, right? Even though they've lost confidence in those things, Jesus has not lost confidence in them. I want you to hear this. Even though he has to rebuke them for not believing, their brothers, when their brothers came with excitement and said, "We've seen Jesus," says, no, you didn't. He's dead. Even though he has to rebuke them because they refuse to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they have given up on him through their confidence, the loss of confidence in him. Mark shows us that Jesus has not lost confidence in them. As frustrated and disappointed as Jesus may have been with those who disbelieved his resurrection, he still commanded them to go and do the work assigned to them. This is encouraging to know that Jesus does not give up on us, even though we may have given up on him. He is faithful and will never leave us alone. He promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. His word is true that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Despite the disciples' unbelief and hardness of heart, the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel still went forward. Jesus still gave the disciples the commands of the Great Commission. So it is with you and me. It doesn't matter how much we rebel and refuse to go and preach the gospel. The command is still there for us to do it. It doesn't matter how much we are afraid to leave our comfort zone and engage the people. The command is still there for us to do it. It does not matter how much we dislike those groups of people and those different nations. The command is still there for us to go to all nations, to every person. The command is still there for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So, what happens if we don't do it? Think about it. What happens if we don't do it? Based on the context, listen to me, based on the context and the focus of the passage, that is irrelevant for us today. You with me? What happens to us if we don't do it is not in the context. That is an irrelevant question. The real question, here's the question. The real question is what happens to those who mishearing the gospel that we fail to present. What happens to them when we refuse to go and proclaim? Listen, there would be no possibility of believing and being baptized, and therefore no salvation. And they will fall into the category of those who do not believe, and therefore they would be condemned. You with me? Mark is not focusing on the rebellious believer. He says our attention should be focused on the one who mishearing was condemned because it was never presented to them. They, he says, will be condemned. Let's understand what this means, right? What does this mean? Let's understand what this means. The word condemn is katakrino, and it means to be judged and sentenced for one's sin, to be consigned to destruction and a subject of eternal death. So because we fail to go and preach the gospel, then those who mishearing the gospel and therefore misbelieving and accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior will be judged and sentenced for their sins and be consigned to destruction and receive the consequence of eternal damnation in hell. I want you to process that. cause we fail to go and preach the gospel, then those who mishearing the gospel and therefore misbelieving and accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior will be judged and sentenced for their sins and be consigned to destruction and receive the consequence of eternal damnation and hell. I believe that this is the frustration of Jesus and the reason for his rebuke. He knows that the only chance that the lost have to be saved is through the presentation of the gospel. He knows that that is the plan of his Father. He knows that the only way the unsaved can be saved is through the preaching and proclaiming of the truth concerning his death, burial, and resurrection. Why? Because it has been given the power to save those who hear it and believe it. And when that happens, salvation is granted, and that individual is eternally saved. So, the life-saving command to preach the gospel must go forth to all creatures in the world so that those who believe and are baptized will be saved, and those who do not believe will be condemned. So, in conclusion, the life-saving command, preaching the gospel, must go forth to all creatures in the world, so that those who believe and are baptized will be saved, and those who do not believe will be condemned. Question: will you go and preach and proclaim the gospel? Question: will you go and preach and proclaim the gospel? Father, thank you for choosing us through the power of your gospel. Thank you for a soul that was obedient to your command and came to us and presented this gospel, this powerful gospel that has the power to save, presented it to us so that now we can be who we are, your children in your kingdom, saved and have an eternal life given to us, granted to us through our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Help us, God, to know that this command goes on, that we must continue to proclaim, preach your gospel, so that like us, others can be saved, so that like us, others can be your kingdom kids, so that like us, others can be given the eternal salvation, to be given eternal life through salvation. Like us, others can have a seat in the kingdom, right? Can have a home awaiting them. Like us, others can be made alive with Christ, can be seated with him, and know that we're saved. Thank you, God, for this word that you've given us. Thank you for this series that you've worked us through, worked us over, that you've continued to challenge us, our hearts and our minds, to become active, to move away from our inactivity, to move to activity of preaching and proclaiming your gospel, to know that this mission was given to those who are saved. And we are your disciples. We're the ones who are following you. And it's been granted to us today. So Lord, thank you. We praise you. We magnify you for your trust and confidence in us. Help us reciprocate that confidence back to you. It is in Christ's name that we pray this prayer. And in agreement, we all say, and in agreement, we all say, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Just a few announcements before our after church chat. There are two ways to give offering: electronically via Cash App, hashtag the Proclamator, or by mail to 511 Eartha Lane, Orlando, Florida 32805. Please fill out a contact card before you sign off today if you're new here, have never filled one out, or need to update your information. This ensures you receive valuable church news and updates and your year-end giving statement. To fill out this contact card, go to postable.com/proclamationchurch. Join us every weekday at 12 p.m. for prayer at the same Zoom link. Noon Zoom is a time to share prayer requests and praise reports and intercede for the needs of our church, community, and our world. We gather for Bible study every Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Don't miss this important time of growing deeper in your understanding of God and God's Word. All of our Sunday sermons are available on sermon audio for you to re-listen or share with someone who needs to hear a good word. Visit sermonaudio.com/theproclamator to listen or download. If you're not yet a member of a church community, we'd love to welcome you as a member of Proclamation Church. Contact Pastor Jimmy or Pastor Keon for more information about Proclamation Church or for help finding a local church if you're not based in the Orlando area. This week's Bible reading can be found in the chat. Read along with us as we make our way through the scriptures. If you'd like to receive a weekly text of the Bible reading, please text Sign Me Up to 407-468-7931. Again, thank you for being here with us at Proclamation Church. We hope you'll stick around for the after church chat to discuss the sermon and spend a few moments in fellowship.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Proclamation Church. I am Pastor Jimmy, and it is my hope and prayer that the sermon lesson has opened your eyes to the truth of the scriptures and that you are able to apply its meaning to your life. Thank you, and may God's love continue to shine on you. Stay safe and tune in again.